Let's take our Bibles tonight, turn to Luke chapter 2. I know you're not surprised that we would speak from this passage this time of year. But Luke chapter 2, most of you probably grew up, and if you grew up in a Christian home or a home that was religious of any sort, you probably heard this passage. Maybe your family read it on Christmas morning. I know my dad often did that as a tradition in our home. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. I want to ask the question tonight, what does the birth of Christ mean for us? It happens quite a long time ago. But what does it really mean for us? Let's pray and we'll look at that tonight. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to be here. We thank you for each one that is here. Father, we thank you that you watch over us. Father, more than that, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for Christ coming to earth to be born, to grow, to minister, to suffer, to die, but yet to rise again, so that our sins could be paid for and that we could have eternal life. Lord, we thank you for all that has been done on our behalf. We thank you for your word. I pray you would encourage us and challenge us through it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Christmas has become a time of gift-giving, family gatherings, work office parties, time off work and school, and lots of marketing by companies to get them to get you to buy their products. Has become more and more about satisfying materialistic appetites of people rather than the true meaning of Christmas. But what is Christmas really all about? Christmas is a time when we, as believers, we remember the birth of Christ. We remember that Jesus was born in a little town called Bethlehem in the land of Judea. The greatest significance of his birth is why he came. He came to provide salvation to all mankind through his death on the cross and his resurrection. What does the birth of Christ mean for us? What is it really, how important is that for us? I want to look at some truths tonight about the birth of Christ and the things surrounding his birth. First of all, we see the first truth is God keeps his word. That phrase, and it came to pass, what is that saying? When it says, and it came to pass, what came to pass? The promises, the prophecies that had been given about Christ's birth all came to pass at this time. God provided many pictures throughout the Old Testament of his promise to provide a way for man to be delivered from the bondage of sin. You look at Genesis chapter 6, what was the ark? The ark wasn't just something God wanted to try out. Let's see if we can build an ark, let's see if it'll float, let's see if Noah will do what I say. No, God had a reason for giving that at that time. The wickedness of man was great in the earth, and God said, I'm going to destroy the earth. What was the ark? The ark was a picture of Christ. Christ delivering from that destruction. That was a purpose, that was a picture that was given at that time. Genesis chapter 22, God tells Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your son Isaac, I want you to take him up to the mountain, I want you to sacrifice him and give him back to me. Again, that was a test of Abraham's faith, but it was also a picture of how God, when he provided a ram in the place of Isaac, how God provided a substitute in our place. In Exodus chapter 12, God delivered the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. Again, it was a picture of God's deliverance for us from our sin. So God provides, and there's many others as we go through the Old Testament, God provides many pictures of the promise that he gave to provide a deliverer. And so we see many promises were kept, but also many prophecies were fulfilled. If you look at Genesis 3:15, and we won't turn there, but Genesis 3:15 says that the Christ would come through the seed of a woman. Where was that fulfilled? Well, in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And God fulfilled that prophecy. Another one was that he would be the seed of Abraham. And we see that fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1. So the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we talked about last week how God did not have a genealogy, but Jesus, when he became a man, did have a genealogy. And we find that in Matthew chapter 1. Another prophecy that was fulfilled was that he would be born in Bethlehem. We see that in prophecy in Micah 5, verse 2. But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth that shall be ruler in Israel. That prophecy was given. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. That prophecy had been given, and so the Jews kind of had an idea of the general time when that would happen. And that prophecy was fulfilled. And also the prophecy that he would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Was that fulfilled? It was. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Ghost. And so prophecy, many prophecies were fulfilled when Jesus, in the birth of Christ. And so we see that God keeps his word. It comes to pass. It will happen as just as he says it will. But the second thing we see is that God is in control of all things. When we go back to that phrase, it came to pass, we realize that is a continuation of God's plan to redeem man to himself. It came to pass. All that God had intended to do was now continuing his plan in humanity in order to bring this to pass. And since the beginning of creation, as I was studying this, I was realizing every event in the Old Testament, everything that happened up to this time has all been intended to bring God's plan to pass. Everything we see, whether it's God revealing man's sinful heart, whether it's God showing man the need for a deliverer, whatever it is, God showing himself, it was all intended to bring man to this point where God says, I'm going to bring a deliverer. Here is your deliverer. Here is a Savior that has come. So everything pointed to that. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. God is in control of all things. In Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And so we see God is always in control of all things. God governs the events and the lives of man to accomplish his purposes. And we've talked about that maybe a couple, 3 years ago, how that God, in his providence, governs the lives, events and the lives of man. And sometimes he works in the lives of evil men to bring about his purposes. But he uses those things. He uses our wrong decisions at times to work his purposes, to bring us to the point he wants us to be. He doesn't want us to make those wrong choices, but he knows we're going to, and he'll use those to bring us back to himself. He orchestrated the decrees of Caesar Augustus here in Luke chapter 2 to bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem at the appointed time of Christ's birth. Consider briefly the timeline of events that took place around Christ's birth. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 11, we see the angel appears to Zacharias. Zacharias is ministering in the temple. We see in Luke chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto Zacharias, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." And so the angel appears to Zacharias and tells Zacharias, "Zacharias, your wife is going to have a child in her old age. Even though she's barren, she's going to have a son. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for so long." And so we see here that the angel appears. We go to Luke chapter 1, verse 23. We see that Zacharias returns home. It says, "It came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months." So Zacharias finishes his service, and as you study back in the Old Testament, you find it was about a week. And at the end of the week, each priest would take over for another priest, and they would change service at that time. So Zacharias finishes out his week, and he goes home. After some time, Elizabeth conceives, and she's going to bear a child. You go on to Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary. We talked about that this morning. He appears to Mary and tells Mary, "Mary, you're going to carry the Christ child." In Luke chapter 1, verse 39, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, who is now 6 months pregnant, and she stays with her for 3 months. In Luke chapter 1, verse 56, Mary goes back home to Nazareth. Mary's now 3 months pregnant, and her husband Joseph, or her betrothed Joseph, sees her and realizes she's with child. This is where Joseph says, "Now what am I going to do?" We go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. We see the angel appears to Joseph. Let me read that passage for you. Matthew 1, 20 to 23. "While he thought on these things," well, I'll go back to verse 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." So the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph to reveal to him that Mary was going to be the mother of the Christ child, mother of the Messiah that they had been waiting for, to remind him of the prophecy that had been given, saying, "Joseph, this is what you've heard about. This is what you've been taught. This is what you've understood from the Old Testament, that this is going to happen, that a virgin would conceive. Joseph, Mary is that virgin." We go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. Just after Joseph had been told these things, Joseph takes Mary to be his wife. Usually the betrothal period was about a year long. Regardless of what time had transpired, Joseph takes Mary to be his wife, and I believe a lot of it was for her protection and to provide for Mary. Can you imagine the talk that went around that time when they found out Mary was with child? And Joseph took her as his wife to protect her, to provide for her. And then we go to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. We see that Joseph and Mary receive the news, the decree of Caesar Augustus, that they've got to go to Bethlehem. They've got to make this trip to Bethlehem in order to be taxed, to be registered. And we go on in verse 2, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, we see that Jesus is born and placed in a manger. Because of the crowds that had been gathered at that time, there was no room for them to stay in the inn. And so they were placed in a very rough place where the cattle were kept. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 17, the angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds and telling them of the birth of Christ and where he could be found, and the shepherds go and they find Jesus exactly as they were told. In Matthew chapter 2, the Magi from the east see a star, and they go to, they follow that star, and they set out on their journey. It obviously took some time, because when they come and they find Jesus, he's no longer in this place where the animals are kept, but he's in a house with his mother Mary. And the Magi, they come and they present to him gifts. And then we see that things continue on with the birth, with the life of Christ. Things continue on as they move from place to place for his protection. But the important thing to understand here is that God orchestrated each of the events to take place just when they needed to. God orchestrated every person to be in the right place at the right time. God worked in the heart of Caesar Augustus to make this decree. It wasn't a happenstance thing. God knew when it needed to happen. He orchestrated every event. And so we see that God was in complete control of this whole thing. Another thing that we see here is that God uses those who are humble. Who is Joseph? He was a humble carpenter. He was just a lowly laborer. He wasn't somebody of high rank. He wasn't somebody of royalty. He was just a humble carpenter. But he was a just man, it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. He was a man who did what was right. He cared for others, particularly Mary and the baby. As you look at how God said, Joseph, you need to take them to this place for their protection. Then God says, Joseph, you need to go and take him to this place for their protection. We see Joseph's humility in that he obeyed God and went to wherever God wanted him to go for the protection of his family. And then we see Mary, another example of humility. Mary was a young virgin, but she was a godly young lady. When we look at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Mary was a humble young lady, a godly young lady, and she was humble about being chosen to bear the Christ child. Look at chapter 1, verse 46. Look at Mary's response after the conversation with the angel, the messenger of God, and after she returns from visiting when she's with Elizabeth. She says, Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. In her humility, she accepted the responsibility. She took the privilege of bearing the Christ child. But another one who God used in this was the shepherds. And the shepherds were looked down upon for their vocation. The shepherd, being a shepherd, was not one that people really looked at wanting to do. They were sent out of the city to take care of the sheep on the hillsides, and they were looked down upon. But as you look at chapter 2 of Luke, verse 10 or verse 16, it says they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And they were excited. They were looked forward to finding Christ. They looked forward to finding where he was. And so they go and they come and they see the baby who is the Messiah. But their humility was evident by the fact that they spread the message of the baby Messiah. They came, they saw the Christ child, but then they left and they were headed back. But they went and they told everybody. It says there in verse 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You see, their humility was evident in the fact that they spread the message. It wasn't a boastful thing that they had seen the Messiah first. Yeah, look at us. We got to see him before you did. It wasn't that. It says they rejoiced. In verse 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. It was a humble praise to God that they had that privilege of being the one to see the Messiah, and they went and told others. But another one that God used as who was humble, and that was Jesus himself. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, we see that he was the obedient Son of God. Being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient unto death. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Jesus humbled himself and obeyed his heavenly Father. We see in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, even when Jesus had been in Jerusalem with his parents, they had come to worship in the temple, and then his parents had left and were headed back home, and they couldn't find Jesus anywhere. Finally, after 3 days, they come and find him. What was Jesus' response to his parents? Verse 49, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I don't believe he was disrespectful in any way in saying that. But he said, I have to do what my Father sent me to do. And he was obeying his Father. He was serving humbly the thing that God had sent him to do. We also see, number four, that God draws people to know Christ. We see here in Luke chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, that God appeared to the shepherds. What was he doing? He was drawing them to look for Christ, drawing them to search for Christ in verses 11 and 12. But then you go down to verse 17, as the shepherds go and as they witness of the Christ, they tell others about the Christ that they had seen. What was he doing? He was drawing others to Christ. He was pointing others to the Christ child and others to the Messiah that had come. And so he directed them through the witness of the shepherds. In John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible tells us, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. God directed the shepherds. He directed others through the shepherds, but he also directs us to the light. And he gives every one of us the opportunity to respond to the light. And he directs us through the light of the gospel. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And only when men respond to that light by turning from their sin and receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior will they be delivered from the darkness of their sin. And so God used people, and he draws people to himself. But the last thing I want us to see this evening is the good news of Christ's coming is for everyone. We looked at that a little bit this morning, but in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to who? All people. The good news of Christ, the good news of the gospel was for all people. In Psalm chapter 98, verse 2 and 3, it says, the Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. We look at Romans chapter 1 and we realize no man has any excuse to know that there is no God. Because God is evident in all creation. God is evident around us. God, the truth of God is around us. Now, we still need to go and tell people the gospel, but we have that opportunity because God has revealed himself in so many ways to people through his creation, through his works. Romans 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And here's that part that says it's for everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That leaves it open for anyone to come. You say, well, what about that thing about the elect? That's not for us to worry about. God says, whosoever will call upon him will be saved. And then 1 John 5, verse 20, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You may come to somebody and say, how can I know God? How can I know for sure that I know I can have a relationship with God? Right there in that verse, he giveth us an understanding that we may know him that is true. That we can know God. We can have a relationship with God. We can have a walk with God. So what does the birth of Christ mean for us? It means that God has sent his Son to provide salvation for all mankind. And we can know Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and we can have eternal life. And so as you reflect on that tomorrow, as you sit down with your family and friends and you think about Christmas and you think about all this color and lights and all that, remember, the birth of Christ is really about the fact that he came to save us. He came to show his love for us through Christ. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love toward us. Father, we didn't deserve it. We didn't ask for it. But you knew that we needed it. Because it was a need in our lives, you provided it. You provided a way for us to come to Christ. You provided a way for our relationship with you to be restored. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us. I pray that you work in our hearts, that each one here would know for sure that they have trusted you as Savior, that they have come to that point where they have acknowledged their sin, they have turned from their sin, and they've turned to Christ. Father, help us as we go through this week and as we meet up with family and friends, maybe some that are not saved. Help us to be a light to them. Father, help us to show them the truth. Help us to share the gospel with them, that they too might know the real meaning of why Jesus came. We thank you for what you will do, and I pray that you would guide and direct in our testimonies, in our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen.